Let's talk about something that might be keeping you up at night, cybersecurity. According to Vanta's latest State of Trust report, it's the number one concern for UK businesses. That's where Vanta comes in. Whether you're a startup, growing fast, or already established, Vanta can help you get ISO 27001 certified and more without the headaches. And Vanta allows your company to centralize security workflows, complete questionnaires up to 5 times faster, and proactively manage vendor risk to help your team not only get compliant, but stay compliant. Stop stressing over cybersecurity and start focusing on growing your business. For a limited time, our audience gets $1,000 off Vanta at vanta.com/go. That's vanta.com/go for $1,000 off. Because when it comes to your business, it's not just about keeping the lights on. It's about keeping everything secure.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment. You can listen to The Mike O'Mara Show at MikeO'MaraShow.com.
Wow, what have we here?
It's a podcast.
Fine.
And what excitement we have today.
It's The Mike O'Mara Show with Mike O'Mara and Rob Spiewak. Now, here's Mike.
Happy Monday, everybody. We've got a very, very interesting and well-balanced show for you today because we're going to be talking about some serious stuff and we're going to be talking about some fun stuff. And we're also going to be talking about some plans that we have coming up. And we're going to start with that today because we are going to, the first thing I can say is that we are going to be hitting the road somewhere down the road. And I'm not going to tell you where because we're going. We came up with a wonderful. Who came up with it? Did Josh come up with this idea?
Like all good ideas, it came from Josh.
Yeah, I think so.
And it was something that we immediately latched onto. Said this will be fun, and our listeners love fun.
Fun
they
is
really
the
do.
Best thing to have.
Our three listeners love fun. They don't like subscribing. But they love fun.
No, free fun.
Which is great. And so I think that we're going to start this today. And Josh, correct me if I'm wrong. All I'm allowed to say, well, you tell me all I'm allowed to say about before we put the puzzle.
Well, we shared a puzzle piece on the bonus show.
Okay.
So today we're going to unveil that section of the puzzle and a tiny bit more.
Oh,
there's something coming up for the show. It's on the road, and we are sharing it with you with a puzzle. And every day, we might reveal one or two puzzle pieces so you can guess where we're going to be, what we're going to be doing. And if we're going to invite listeners.
Might just be the three of us.
Or the two of us. Who knows? Maybe one of us will stay home, and I'm not cutting myself out of that. Who knows?
Let's reveal. I'll decide. We can all decide how many puzzle pieces we'll need to reveal. There's the puzzle. Now that looks like we've already revealed 1, 2, 3, 4 pieces.
And then I threw in a bunch of pieces that don't do anything.
Yeah. Well, Mike, there's actually.
Well, see, that's not right. That's
7 additional blank pieces.
That's not playing the jigsaw game right.
No. You know. But I don't want to break this up into 60 days.
So why not?
We're adding more than one puzzle piece a day.
Hey, and that's good for the listener because every guess is a clue for you.
We made the puzzle pieces smaller to hide more.
That was my idea, them smaller because I thought I didn't want to reveal too much.
Right, but we're unveiling multiple puzzle pieces at a time.
Would it be accurate
to choose locations?
Would it be you mean as far as on the puzzle board?
Right.
Yes.
We get to choose locations?
Well, I have pre-chosen what puzzle pieces go out each day.
So it's strategic, not random.
Today, I added all the black pieces that don't give any information because it would be really boring if for a week we just had, here's another black square.
But you know what? The black pieces, by having no information, Mike, they actually have lots of information.
Now listen,
because
I hate it when you
nothing
do that.
On
I
those.
Hate it. I hate it when you do that. Yes, Rob, we know you're smarter than the listeners, but I hate it when you do that because that's just. I'm really trying to make this a game people will be excited to play.
Yes.
When you do that, let me explain something to you about Rob, Josh.
Oh, he makes.
If it was up to if
to
it was up to
puzzle.
Rob, no one would guess it ever.
Right.
And he would get great joy because he knows what it is.
It goes way back, Mike. It's somehow in my contest DNA. But would
you agree that it does nothing for us to have that joy that you have from torturing listeners?
I think it has more than you know, because what it does is it challenges the listener to try harder. And the true listener knows. The true puzzle person knows. Really, really, they are. Oh,
did you
just put?
Hold on a second. I thought the game was going to be.
I just accidentally put some up. I bumped the keyboard. Yes.
Were those going to be the? Put them back up. It's too late. Put them back up.
Right there, it's some more black.
Okay, there we go.
Is there?
There's a little bit more green. A little bit more white.
Yellow, definitely some yellow.
And if you look on the left, there's a tiny bit of red.
Would it be safe to say that there will be certain pieces that will make allow the listeners to skip ahead and try in their ability to solve it?
Yeah, of course. I think there's enough now that we can wait till next week. They can figure it out.
No.
Yeah.
That's not going to happen.
Mike, the information is in front of them. Everything they need is there.
There you go again. Put up another piece.
Oh, no. Again?
Yeah.
Well, it's going to be more than one piece.
Yeah, because they're coming in hunks.
Stop. Rob?
What?
Please. Let me talk to Josh.
Not
what
a word.
Mean they're going to be... okay, because we have smaller pieces, now you're going to put up multiples?
I sent you yesterday that I took the puzzle and divided it into 10 groups of pieces.
Oh, so there are going to be 10 reveals.
So this is reveal number 2. If we get to 10, the puzzle's clear.
I don't know if I like that. Do you like that, Rob, or do you think we should do one at a time?
Well, you know me. I think we should just let it stay like this. But if it doesn't mess up a lot of work that Josh did, I think one at a time would be really nice, because then if Mike were to be dissatisfied, we could reveal 2 in a day.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Except I'll have to figure out if I can do that, because to do this, I had to build the puzzle and keep taking screenshots.
Right, that's fine.
So,
right. this is day two. Mm-hmm. You just put up day 2. Then all I'll ask is put up day 3.
Today?
Yeah, and Rob, you've got your little... Yes, today.
There you
yes,
go.
Yes, today.
We got some red.
Okay, good. There it is.
Oh, wait. Now it's not what I thought it was.
Shut up! God! Jeez.
I'd suggest we stop here.
Thank you. That's a great idea.
Yeah.
That's a great idea. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah.
If you get nothing if you solve the puzzle.
But in a way, you get everything.
Do we have anybody put up any videos over the weekend as far as
the TMOS love hashtag?
Yes.
Okay.
I do have a video. We can play a little later.
Okay, a little later we'll play a video that somebody put up there. Thank you for your TMOS love. The grand prize winner gets a prize pack, including this, right?
Right.
That's
I
it.
I love this hat.
And it's show worn. It is show worn.
I like
there
that. Maybe I'll just keep it on.
All you have to do, Mike, if you write the poem and video it, maybe you'll win it. You could write a poem for the show.
What do you mean? I didn't write.
Yeah, but I'm saying
I wrote the poem.
No,
but I'm saying you could compete with the new TMOS.
But it's not a poem contest.
You're right. But it could be. I mean, a poem could be part of it. You just professed your love.
No, it's just anything people want to do. Just say why they like the show.
Mm-hmm.
That's and we'll do that later in the show. All right. So we've covered that business. We're going somewhere, and you can figure it out by figuring out the puzzle. Is that clear?
Yeah.
I don't want to distract everybody. Let me take this off now.
Why don't we say that you might have to fly, and we can transition to the guest.
Yeah, oh, there you have to fly. Some people might. Some people might not.
So are we closing game time now? Game time is over?
Game time's over. Want to bring in our pilot friend Joel Rogers to talk about last week. And Joel, how are you from Denver, Colorado? Nice to see you, my friend. How's everything going?
It's good. I actually just landed in L.A. yesterday morning from Australia. So a little jet lagged, but it's nice to be here.
Wow.
Well, it's early for you out there. We appreciate you coming on. We wanted to, before too long a time passed, discuss this aviation really in the news. You're our favorite aviation dude as a commercial pilot for multiple years. Really something as fluky as it really gets occurred at Reagan National as you know, as I was saying on the show last week, I've flown in and out of that airport multiple times, many times over the years. Spoken to people who have done that. It's always, to me, been a rather interesting and for a semi-phobic flyer, a little scary when you fly into that airport. But I have never had the pleasure of, you know, being behind the controls like Mr. Rogers has. Hey, I just called you Mr. Rogers. That's pretty funny.
In the neighborhood.
Joel, so this was, my God, there has been so much online in the world we live in now. The speed with which the prognosticators and the simulations and everything else gets put up online. I was watching an animated simulation of, you know, the jet and the bombardier, and now I will pronounce
Thank
it
you.
Correctly.
Yes.
Sorry for calling it a bombardier. Bombardier jet and the Black Hawk helicopter. You've flown in and out of that airport multiple times. I'll start this, what I'm going to ask you about, by I heard a pilot buddy of mine one time, the airline was way back when it was old U.S. Airways, talking about the fact that he liked it because it really allowed him, if he was coming in from the north, it allowed him to really fly the plane. Does that make any kind of sense to you at all?
A little bit. It's a gorgeous view. Doing the river visual to 19, landing to the south, is the one where you're zigging and zagging to follow the river. The river visual, the Mount Vernon visual landing to the north, is more of a straight in.
Right.
But it used to be purely visual, purely hand flown. Now with a GPS and FMS and the autopilot all coupled, it can fly a lot of the approach on itself. It will do the zigging and the zagging along the river, but there is still a lot of just eyeballing it and seeing how it looks good and using the pilot skills. So
talk to me about something that that interests me and sure. and how it might have affected the result there. This is a pilot landing to the north, which means mm-hmm. it's coming from the south, the Mount Vernon landing, as Joel's talking about, and a deviation that I don't think in all the years that I flew in and out of that area, certainly into that airport, I ever landed on that other runway, which is 33. And I always kind of thought that was for much smaller planes, not a regional jet, but like the prop planes, the private planes. And that's runway 33. Is that what
it is? I flew a twin engine Baron, a little 6-seat prop plane there in the 90s. And then when I was there in the 2000s, I was in an Airbus, usually a 319 or a 320. And I don't think I've ever landed on 33. It was 1 or 19. I know on the Baron, I departed 4 with a left turnout. But I've never flown an RJ in there, so I don't know if that's a common thing. I would have hoped. I think that they briefed that. I guess it's a known procedure that they can do. That one, there would be no autopilot involvement at all. That would the 33. I don't think has any guidance. It's purely hands on the stick, wiggling the wheel, and landing on 33.
So if I can kind of in my limited way explain what it is, it really is the secondary runway. It's the smaller runway.
Correct.
The main runway at Reagan National is what most of the jets land on. Why might they do something like that at a very late stage when it was suggested?
I think it was a matter of convenience for the controllers because they depart on runway 1, so that's the north departure with the left turn out to follow the river to avoid the prohibited, the P-50, I think it's 56 is the prohibited airspace. I think.
What is P-56? Is that?
It's the one, there's two prohibited airspaces, one around the Capitol and the White House.
And they're numbered like that? They're numbered
correct.
And lettered like that?
All the prohibited starts with P. It's a very great system to,
okay.
I just don't remember the number.
What is the number for your airspace, Mike, around your house? Isn't that P-89 that no one's allowed to violate your airspace?
The idea of that difficult landing coming in from the north to the south is based on that airspace that you have to kind of work your way around that airspace,
yeah,
right?
You will bust that airspace. Part of it's noise abatement, but yeah, it's and then the Naval Observatory where the Vice President residency
right.
is also a little chunk of prohibited airspace.
So convenience for the controllers. Maybe it was a busy night.
I think somebody was departing runway one, and that ties the runway up for a little longer time. If they're crossing, you only need that crossing runway, you know, open just for a few seconds, I think, maybe.
Right.
But again, I've never landed on 3-3, so I'm not sure.
One of the theories that's been thrown about, and we don't have all the information yet, this is speculation, but I appreciate Joel coming on and talking about this, would be that the pilot of the Black Hawk helicopter, and this, you know, when you look at it and you see the fact that, A, they were warned about it, B, it was a clear night, one of the theories I heard was that he might very well have looked at another landing jet and thought that was the one they wanted him to go behind.
And somebody who spends a lot of time flying into the busiest airports in the world, especially Atlanta, with they will do three approaches at once, on three different runways, a parallel, which is nice, but there are a lot of times when you're turning base, you're at about a 90-degree angle to the final, they will tell you traffic is a whatever, you know, to follow. And I look out and I see two or three airplanes, and I've actually briefed that before saying, unless we're 100% sure, we won't even say that we have the traffic in sight. Let the controllers, because when you say that you have the traffic in sight and they tell you to maintain separation, that is now your responsibility as a pilot, not the controller's responsibility.
Okay. So
they like pushing that to the pilots to say, okay, maintain visual. Now it's not the controller's issue anymore. It's the pilot's issue.
And that happened a couple of times with the communications that I heard.
And that's another reason why I said I'm a little leery to do that. If there's any doubt, or if we're not sure, or if we could keep the airplane inside, especially at night, you know, you're looking down on stuff. There's other planes. It's a real challenge. The thing to keep in mind is the IFR traffic, the instrument flight rules traffic. The controllers have to guarantee two IFR airplanes will be separated. But a VFR or visual flight rules airplane, like the helicopter or somebody alone in a Cessna with, you know, just a private pilot without an instrument rating, it's purely see and avoid. That there is no guarantee of a VFR to VFR or VFR to IFR separation. And so even in that busy airspace, there is no guarantee of the IFR RJ being separated from the VFR helicopter. And
now,
I think that's a huge issue.
A question, yes. And this is fascinating to me, because what you've said in sort of, you know, broad strokes is that when they put it on the pilot, that visual, it's like this for the hands off for the tower. They just say, you know, go do it. But you've flown with many, many people, I'm sure. Are certain pilots more gutsy when have you ever had sort of not an argument, but like a disagreement in the cockpit saying, let's not do this. And the other guy's saying, yeah, let's do this, because you really have made it into a judgment call for the pilot and they don't have all the info all the time.
It is surprisingly very rare that you have a disagreement like that. Everybody's pretty cautious, pretty safety oriented.
Okay.
That's just, there's not a lot of times where one person will say yes and the other person will say no. And
okay.
Even like my flight to Australia, there's four of us.
Uh-huh.
Even, you know, we have a consensus. We know we never really have a, you know, oh, I think something. And a lot of times, you know, you have the briefing. If anybody says go around, you go around. There's no discussion. There's no, I mean, it, you know,
safety first, obviously. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Everything that I've read about this, and there's been so much information, more information than I think has ever existed for a situation of this kind, it points to the fact, and even when you look at the video, that you've got a jet, a small jet, but a jet nonetheless, that's already got its gear down, is already ready to land, that has made a diversion to land on the secondary runway, not the original runway it was planning to end. He's pretty focused and on that airport and getting the plane down.
Absolutely.
And we get to the Black Hawk. And the Black Hawk that I read was higher than it needed to be, or it should have been. And the Black Hawk that would seemingly have better visual on the jet, I would think.
Yes and no. I'm not a military pilot. I wear contacts, and 30 years ago when I was thinking about the military, they wouldn't let me fly. So I don't have night vision goggle experience. But there's talk about they did might have been wearing night vision goggles, which doesn't have peripheral vision. You see really well in
really?
A small area. So
wow.
Imagine looking through a you know, like a toilet paper tube or, you know, paper
binoculars
or something.
Yeah.
Will they
yeah.
be able, when they get all the assessments done, will that be something they
I
will
sure
be able to determine?
So. I don't know. And again, I'm not a military expert, but I would hope somebody in the military would know that that was part of their mission or something. I will say one thing that I have not heard much, and I'm going to put it out here because I think it is important, that they released a video of the same Pat, I forget the call sign, but the same military helicopter going the opposite direction the day before. So 24 hours prior on the 28th of January. Had three conflicts with airplanes landing to the south at that time, one of which did a go around because the TCAS gave a resolution advisory. And in those three conflicts, the alarm went off in the tower. And I think the term that we use in aviation is normalization of deviance, that it was kind of from the Challenger accident that, you know, it wasn't supposed to do this, but it did, and nothing bad happened, so we accept it. And I think that that is something that they're going to need to look at, that, you know, these helicopters were just there so much, and they were such a problem, but they learned to live with it. And
as you're explaining
that's
this,
a problem.
As you're talking about this, something just popped into my head again, and I'm saying to myself, what in the name, why are they training around one of the busiest airports, small airports in the United States.
I lived in the D.C. area for 4 years, and, I mean, there were plenty of times. Now, I was there pre-9/11. I moved in early 01, but even before 9/11, there were helicopters everywhere. And you'd be, you know, going to the mall, and here comes some dignitary landing on the, you know, ellipse or something. So I understand there's a reason for it. And I guess, I mean, if you're going to fly around D.C., you need to learn to how to fly around DC. So you're going to get trained, I guess, but I'm sure that is going to be one of the questions. And why can you be that close to a busy airport is another question. As a fixed wing pilot, I have to keep 500 feet above or laterally from any vehicle, person, structure. And if it's congested area, even higher or further away. And these guys are flying, guys and gals are flying along at 200 feet or below, which is legal as a helicopter. But boy, that's a challenging environment. Yeah, if you're, I mean, how many buildings and antennas are above 200 feet?
Yeah, exactly.
And so, I mean, that's a distraction, and that's something else that they need to
go address. Ahead, Josh. Pete, you had a question.
Well, I was just looking up. Pete Hegde, Seth, the defense secretary, did come out and say it was a fairly experienced crew that was doing their annual required night evaluation. And
okay,
they
so the guys on the Blackhawk, the guys on the Blackhawk were not rookies; they were experienced.
Apparently, it's something they have to do every year.
You know, but what's interesting, it is ultimately experience or not a training mission, and that's just. I would imagine we're going to have reevaluations of all the procedures that exist around that because of how busy it is. I mean, I was telling somebody, even going down to the bottom of Georgetown and sitting there at the what's the area that had Harmalita's and Tony and Joe's and all those restaurants,
Rob,
right up the Washington Harbor, where you just sit down there and and watch the helicopters constantly,
constant
helicopter traffic there. Do you think that's going to change as we go forward, Joel?
Probably. I mean, I know they've already shut down some of the helicopter operations, but on the other hand, there's a need for police helicopters. And I mean, so
it's a tough
call.
The training was for getting people out of DC in case of an emergency at night.
Yeah.
So you need those helicopters for all the people in Congress and the president and all that.
Yeah. Oh, man.
When you talk about the night vision goggles, I'm curious about you talking about.
I was stunned by the lack of peripheral.
The peripheral vision. If they were perhaps flying in a situation, maybe dusk, where they didn't need night vision goggles, is the Black Hawk, is it infinitely more agile than the plane in that it would be easier for it to get out of the way of the plane than the plane to get out of the way of the copter?
Don't know about more maneuverable, but an RJ's coming in 120, 130 knots, the helicopter could stop and hover.
That's so true.
I don't have that ability. Yeah.
Right.
So
yeah.
It has, a lot more options than I do.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know if it, and I really think it was a case of mistaken identity. And again, pure speculation by just an average pilot, but there's so many airplanes out there. They said, follow an RJ, and they could have looked at the second RJ on final instead of the first one or something.
As far as these, nobody wants to see something like this happen after it does in the aviation system in the United States. Is it a rapid transition where the assessment is done after the results come in? Does when does that get to you guys? Whether it's a mechanical issue, whether it's a how long does it take to say we have to do it? Does it enter into your training? I mean, I'm just curious what the process is when something like this goes down.
There are some knee jerk reactions, and then there are some incredibly slow federal bureaucracy things that take forever. And part of the way the industry works is the NTSB will investigate, find a probable cause, make recommendations, but the FAA is the one that is the regulator. They do not have to follow what the NTSB suggests. So every year for decade or two, the NTSB has said, here's our top 10 list of safety things that we want. And the FAA did not have to, some of them they chose to ignore. Some of them, it's too expensive, it's too difficult or something. So it's different government agencies. It's not a guarantee. Now, other airlines or the military might step in and do something on their own, but it's not a guarantee, quick response from the FAA.
How significant would it be? This is a 20-year airplane. The CRJ was a 20-year airplane. If it was, say, a 3 or 5 year airplane, would that
doesn't
be a
matter.
Different? It doesn't matter.
The between COVID and some supply chain issues, the average age of the commercial fleet's gone up the last few years. But they're 20, 30-year-old jets. They're World War II airplanes. You maintain them, you inspect them, they're fine.
Okay.
So I don't think
reassuring.
And they have to follow the same rules. So, at some point 25-ish years ago, they said you needed TCAS, the traffic collision avoidance system. Every airplane has it now, or every, jet has it now. So they there's not a lot of stuff that they're grandfathering that, old airplanes don't have that the new ones do.
This is a little dark, and forgive the question, but I'm sure. Curious because we don't get pilots on here that we can talk to a lot. When you were trained, was there any portion of your training devoted to how to react in this situation? Like if you know that a crash is coming or something is, in your immediate future, is there something that they teach you to do? Or are you just on your own?
So I just spent 3 days in the simulator in October to get retrained. I had a blood clot that kept me away from work for about the last 8 or 9 months.
Okay.
And it was 3 days of just in the simulator. And in the simulator, they artificially put in traffic. There's a little graphic of a truck or a fire truck on the runway, make you go around. Okay. There's a graphic of a plane, and then you can see it on the TCAS, and the TCAS resolution advisory tells you climb more, descend more. It's a very impressive system, but as you've heard on the TV, it doesn't work in my airplane. I think below 700 feet, it does not tell you to climb or descend because they don't want you to, descend into the ground. Uh-huh. And I think that's one of the problems that we're going to hear addressed, that their TCAS, didn't tell them to avoid the traffic, but that's by design. I did a forced evacuation. I had an engine. What did they give me? They gave me some kind of engine fire on landing
in the simulator.
All in the simulator. Yes. My training flight was Minneapolis to Incheon and back. And that was just a normal flight with 300 and whatever people on board. But in the simulator, they throw everything at you. It's weather, it's airplane issues. It's, So I've done a fair amount of simulation where it's, you're responding to traffic.
The last question I have for you, I want to, if you don't mind, ask what a feelings question here as far as emotions that go through. Because, we all react the way we react. It's a national tragedy right away when an airliner of any size, this was a small regional jet, has a tragedy of this magnitude. Everybody, it stops the country for a bit.
It does.
Everybody thinks about it. Everybody reflects about it. As a professional pilot, What do you, when you hear about something like this, and I'm sure you've been doing it for a long time, and we've had many. How does it? What happens in your emotional state? How do you feel when you hear about this?
It's difficult for a lot of reasons. Number one, this is the worst crash in the U.S. since 2009. Mm-hmm. Number two, I lived in Reston for a couple of years. I lived in Alexandria for a couple of years. I flew out of there all the time. Mm-hmm. And literally about 4 hours before the crash, I was as a passenger riding on a regional jet from Denver to L.A. so I could go to work. So, I mean, it could have been me, you know, it definitely hits close to home. The union has reached out with resources, counseling and everything. The company has reached out. I haven't had to deal with it much yet. I mean, I haven't gone to counseling or anything, but, you know, how many aviation Facebook messages, you know, have I seen, and how many black bands? I've seen a couple of people with black bands on wings and stuff. So it definitely hurts. It's tough.
And do you, when you hear about the, need for air traffic controllers and safety organizations that are being by this administration broken up. Does that concern you at all?
It does, because we've got a ton of controllers that were hired when Reagan fired everybody in the mid 80s, and they're mm-hmm. now all retiring. So even 5, 6, 7 years ago, pre-COVID, there was a controller shortage. COVID has made things a little different, made it possibly worse. And it's just, it takes a long time to train a pilot. It takes, if not longer, to train a controller. It will take years till they're out on their own. And then if they're switching from one airport to another, again, it might take a year or two to learn National or LaGuardia or fill in the blank airport. Wow. And so it's a very challenging thing to get staffing levels right. And of course, you've seen, I obviously don't agree with Trump blaming DEI policies the day. I mean, 12 hours afterwards, they haven't even recovered bodies or black boxes. He's blaming Biden. No, I don't know. I mean, you could look at what Biden did. You could look at what Trump sent 400 emails out to NTSB people asking them to retire early, you know, just a few days before this. So there's going to be a lot of, you know, questions about staffing, and that's beyond my pay grade as somebody that doesn't work for the FAA or the DOT or the NTSB, but it is going to be something that they need to look at.
Well, it was so nice of you to chat with us. We really appreciate it.
Thanks for having me. I can't come out of an up-tempo song into a dead dog story. So thanks for having me. Thank you for having me there for the dead dog story.
Jill Rogers, thanks so much for taking the time. We really, really appreciate that. Very articulate.
You
and you stay safe.
Yeah, Jill.
Appreciate it. Well, there we go, ladies and gentlemen. That's a little insight. We didn't. I think we just wanted to give a little. Let the dust settle to a certain degree before we dove right in on that. I think it's.
But we got stuff from him you didn't get on TV. That was just amazing. That was, 30 minutes we spent with him, and I got more out of it from someone who was there and level-headed about the whole thing and what went
down. You know, I'm old enough to remember when we got those regional jets, it was so. I flew so many short hops and going home, and it was so cool to have that ability. And I'm talking about, you know, we talk about the Portland airport up in Maine,
the international jet port.
The CRJs were from DC to Portland. That was all I flew on that leg. And I did it a lot. And it's just, I think it comes down to, you know, when you talk about finger pointing and blaming, and that's what politicians do. But when you really, really get right down to it, you know, there's not anybody in the world that's sane that wanted this to happen. No. Nobody wanted this to occur. And I think that we, more than a lot of other disasters, we're all going to wait till the findings of the NTSB, if they have enough people to do it, to get the results of this and find out, you know, what happened so that we can avoid this from happening again. But you got guys going up at night training around that busy airport. I mean, you can look in the, you know, at night on a clear night outside of Alexandria, you can just look at the it's just and most major city airports. There's a lot going on up there, and I used to think it was so beautiful to see the what airport would it have been? It might have been my hometown airport down here in Florida, where you see on a clear night the light.
Yeah.
They have them lined up as they're coming in, and it's kind of cool to look at, and it's kind of reassuring. But this is that does give me pause. It's like every time we talk to a Joel Rogers, every time I read an article, there's a little tidbit of information that I did not know. And I did not know that you are limited with your peripheral vision when you have those night vision goggles.
Makes perfect sense. We just never thought of it.
Yeah, and you know, what circumstance would you need your peripheral in more 100%. Than flying at night near another aircraft?
Yeah.
Weird. Strange.
Yeah.
Lots of questions.
My takeaway real quick is that I didn't realize we were in such a long period of shortage of controllers. And that's a horrifying thought, because
that's scary.
The most stressful job in the world. I mean, it's surveys after surveys have said this. And so not only are you talking about years of training, you're talking about a certain kind of person that can handle it. It has to be in your DNA somewhere. And if we don't have experienced people up there, that's frightening.
Got messed up by the guy who the airport's named after now. How about that? Let's take a break.
How about that?
How about that? Isn't that something? We will take a
break.
John
Foster Dulles?
No, it's the other one. Anyway, okay. We'll take a break, and we will come back with the round table, ladies and gentlemen. Hey, big awards thing last night.
Would you like to do a promo here?
Yeah, let's do a promo, and then we'll give you the news.
I love it.
Michael Mary Show.
Hello, Boo!
If you like games, you'll love the latest bonus show.
The prongs of a fork. What are they called?
The spokes.
The people that sell forks are spokespeople.
Test your skills on word knowledge.
What is your tiny toe or your little finger called?
In my house, it's called the satisfier.
And learn about gourmet cuisine.
Why do you go to La Villa Roma?
Because she's so good.
Mushrooms are the devil's food.
I've had some of the best trips I've ever had on mushrooms.
The TMOS bonus show is that extra hour of funny you can't find anywhere else without a monthly subscription. Sign up now at MikeOmaraShow.com.
Ha!
One of the
the cannon roar.
Okay. Well, people are busy. And between work and home and everyday tasks, who has the time to stress about website security? What you need is Kinsta. Kinsta takes care of the technical stuff so you can focus on what you do best. Kinsta provides managed hosting for WordPress, offering lightning-fast load times, top-tier security, and unmatched human-only customer support. No matter what your business is, Kinsta makes managing your website easy and efficient, so you can spend your time on what matters most. Kinsta also gives you complete peace of mind by ensuring that your WordPress sites are always online, secure, and performing at their best. And thanks to their unlimited free expert-led migrations, Kinsta ensures a smooth transition from any other hosting provider, so you won't experience any downtime. So, big guy, are you ready to experience Kinsta's hosting for yourself? Get your first month free when you sign up at Kinsta.com today. It's the perfect opportunity to see why Kinsta is trusted by thousands of businesses worldwide to power their websites. Visit Kinsta.com to get this limited time offer for new customers on select plans. Don't miss out. Get started for free today.
Let's talk about something that might be keeping you up at night. Cybersecurity. According to Vanta's latest State of Trust report, it's the number one concern for UK businesses. That's where Vanta comes in. Whether you're a startup, growing fast, or already established, Vanta can help you get ISO 27001 certified and more without the headaches. And Vanta allows your company to centralize security workflows, complete questionnaires up to 5 times faster, and proactively manage vendor risk to help your team not only get compliant, but stay compliant. Stop stressing over cybersecurity and start focusing on growing your business. For a limited time, our audience gets $1,000 off Vanta at vanta.com/go. That's vanta.com/go for $1,000 off. Because when it comes to your business, it's not just about keeping the lights on. It's about keeping everything secure.
What the hell was that, ladies and gentlemen? Hey, everybody, I want to tell you about Legacy Box.
Do it.
What was your favorite childhood memory caught on film or videotape? Do you have an easy way to watch it or share it with friends and family or post it to share? Probably not. Lucky for you, we found a solution, Legacy Box. Legacy Box makes it easy to check this important task off your to-do list. It's like magic, and by going to legacybox.com/TMOS, you can enjoy 50% off when you get started with Legacy Box today. Legacy Box is a simple and safe way to digitize treasured videotapes, film reels, photos, and my beloved vintage French slides.
What you know, Mike, that? I just sent in a big stack of pictures. I found a picture from my first trip to King's Dominion, which is wild. It's 1976, and I'd never known it existed. And in a few days now, I'll have it back digitally to share with everybody.
Yeah, I can't tell you how excited I am.
I will send it directly to you first, thanks, and then I will put it on social media. But it means a lot to me.
I'll send you a vintage French slide for that.
Everything is
done by hand right here in the U.S. That puts so many pictures in my brain right now.
I know, Mike. I do.
Just send in your legacy box filled with all of your old vintage media. Their team professionally digitizes everything by hand in the USA, and you'll get it back on the cloud or thumb drive along with your originals. Now you can relive heart-pounding moments like classic vintage black and white footage of Rancho de Muerte, where it was brand new, when it was brand new, right before the Wall Street crash of 29. Many original residents are still there, both above and below ground. Be the hero of 2025 by rescuing your family's most cherished memories that haven't been watched or enjoyed in years. Go to legacybox.com/TMOS. Save 50%. Buy today. Send it in when you're ready. Go to legacybox.com/TMOS. That's legacybox.com/TMOS. Do it, do it, do it, do it, do it. And before we get started with the news, a programming note, Mr. Soroka, perhaps a taping tomorrow of our special Super Bowl bonus content for our bonus show subscribers.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. Does that sound okay with you,
yep,
maybe?
That can be the next TMOS Extra.
We'll have a TMOS
February
Extra featuring one of our true NFL experts. And here's the great news. He's 11 years old. Yes, my son and I will be talking, well, really more him than me, will be talking all things Super Bowl and
NFL. Be done school tomorrow, or will this be an after-school activity?
This will be an afternoon taping, and
okay,
then it'll
very
be available
nice
when Josh decides right to drop it on everybody. That's
people have asked for a Mike and Mike sports talk show.
So it's a TMOS Extra. If you're a bonus show subscriber, you get that. If you don't, what are you doing? Give me a break.
Come on.
Okay? Come on. Come on. Come on!
This will be TMOS Extra, exclamation point, exclamation point, exclamation point.
Last night's Grammys were just as much about the L.A. fires as they were the music. The show ended with local firefighters being brought on stage to be cheered by the crowd and to announce Album of the Year, which Beyoncé won for Cowboy Carter.
Yes!
I know you're excited about that.
I love Beyoncé.
If you can believe it, this is Beyonce's first win in this category, despite four previous nominations. Either way, she's the most awarded and nominated artist in Grammy history.
Good for her.
Cowboy Carter also won Best Country Album. In addition to honoring first responders, the show raised more than $7 million just from viewers watching at home, which I think is cool.
Wow. Did Cowboy Carter, did he mention the passing of his father, Jimmy?
No, it's another Carter.
What's that?
Yeah. There were several musical tributes to the city as well. I like that. The show kicked off with the band Dawes leading an all-star band and a performance of Randy Newman's I Love L.A., one of
great
my favorite songs ever. Lady Gaga and Bruno Mars teamed up with another fabulous song, California Dreamin' by the Mamas and Papas. Drake had a bad night, and he wasn't even there because Kendrick Lamar's Not Like Us won multiple awards, including Song of the Year and Record of the Year. And Chapel Roan picked up Best New Artist.
Yeah.
So there's that.
And Mike, don't forget last night, in a true nod to 1964, both the Beatles and the Rolling Stones won Grammy Awards last night.
I'll talk about it later in the show, but I was at a Beatles tribute band thing. on Saturday night. Yeah, very, very, very excited.
It surprised me because I'm a fan, and I didn't even know the Stones put out an album last year. So good for them.
That's exciting. Yesterday was Groundhog Day.
Groundhog Day.
I have to put on my best DJ voice for this. Punxsutawney Phil did see his shadow, which means more winter is coming. 6 weeks more, you know, according to the groundhog. That's rough. Last month was the coldest January in the U.S. since 2014. And
Rodent knows his stuff.
And by the way, there will be plenty of people that say, see?
Yeah.
Duh. There's your global warming.
Well, it's climate change, duh.
Anyway, January 21st was the second coldest day nationally in 29 years. And, of course, there was Winter Storm Enzo.
Hey!
Hey, I'm going to sweep in on you right now.
It's very cold out there.
Enzo, that broke snowfall records across the South, including more than 9 inches in the Florida Panhandle. Did you? You never got any snow at all where you are,
no
right?
No snow. No snow.
Didn't,
just
didn't
cold.
Make it over there. Little too far south. This is good news for people who love that, and it's not terrible news for people who don't, because Phil is wrong more than he's right. Weather is different everywhere, but his historical accuracy is about 38%. The Weather Channel's outlook for February shows warmer than average temperatures for most of the east and south, but a colder February for the northwest, northern Rockies, and northern plains. But enough science.
Science!
Science! Back to groundhogs. A recent report said Punxsutawney Phil was the 17th most accurate weather-predicting groundhog in the U.S. Who are these people that try to figure out these statistics?
I don't know. God. I bet they wear top hats.
Wow. anyway, Phil, the most recent, right?
Yes.
He has an accuracy of just 35% over the past two decades. They don't live 20 years, do they?
Sure, why not? Yeah. And yeah, he's got a pretty cushy life. This is probably the top of the Groundhog Hill when you're the Punxsutawney Phil. Yeah, exactly.
He works one day a year.
He's like Santa Claus.
Over the past two decades. Oh, that's the past two decades. They're saying that he didn't live during the past, but there's never been a better
Maybe in Groundhog lore, he lives 20 years. Mike, could I offer a Groundhog historical tidbit that America will enjoy?
Yeah, go right ahead.
All right, hold on.
Here we go.
I would like to point out in the beginning of the 20th century, the early 1900s, after the Groundhog Day ceremony, they would roast and eat him. And that is true. Thank you. That's my favorite Groundhog Day fact.
According to the people that do it, he is 130 years old. But that's because they refuse to tell you when they switch him out for another
groundhog.
There
you go.
Yeah, it's those idiots in the top hats, Mike.
The most accurate groundhog in that 20-year time, Staten Island Chuck, out of New York, he's right 85% of the time. And
you
he
know who
did
else
not...
was good? Who was good back in the day was the groundhog, Bill Kamal. He was very
Staten Island Chuck out of no one is going to understand that reference.
The people that do are going to love it.
Staten Island Chuck out of New York is right 85% of the time. He did not see his shadow, so he's predicting an early spring going against Punxsutawney Phil.
Isn't Staten Island's Chuck full name Staten Island Blair Chuck?
For what it's worth, now our listeners, some of them will get that.
That's right.
For what it's worth, Phil has seen his shadow and predicted a long winter 108 times now, dating back to 1887. He's predicted an early spring 21 times, and 10 years of records are missing. And there was a great movie with Bill Murray. A good movie.
Yeah.
A good movie.
Great at its time, I think. But I think it's not worn well. And also, I think one of the problems with Punxy, and that's what they like to call him, Punxy Phil, more winter is a very vague thing to predict. Don't you think?
I do.
It's like, like 40 degrees. That's not spring. That could
have
be
either
winter.
One of you been to Punxsutawney?
I have.
I have, too. I have, too. Got some great fried chicken from a grocery store up there and took it to a birthday party for my wife's grandfather.
Are you sure it was chicken?
It could have been groundhog. You never know. Groundhog Day. Every player on the winning Super Bowl team on Sunday, you might be concerned. Will they be compensated?
I hope so. No one likes to work Sundays. Yeah.
I stay up at night worrying that the participants in the Super Bowl are not going to get their due,
yes,
that do not get enough adulation please give them some monetary compensation.
Yes.
And thank God this story came across my desk that every Super Bowl winner will get $171,000 in bonus money from the NFL. But some of them will get even more thanks to bonuses that are negotiated into their contracts.
That's terrific.
And why not put that in there, right?
Mm-hmm. Because pocket change to losing their cushions.
Yes, it is. Yes. For instance, Philadelphia Eagles running back Saquon Barkley.
Yeah.
Who? he will get $500,000 from his team, the Eagles, if he leads them to the Lombardi Trophy. He's already earned $1 million in incentives this season, including $250,000 for winning the NFC Championship.
So no stats required for the Super Bowl bonus for him. They just have to win the game.
Yeah, because he was a participant. Yeah.
Right, right. Okay.
No small part of their
winning. And going to carry the team.
Eagles quarterback Jalen Hurts will earn a $500,000 per year salary bump if Philly wins. So that's as long as he plays.
That doesn't hurt.
KC quarterback Patrick Mahomes gets a $1.5 million salary bump if the Chiefs three-peat. The $170,000 that all the winners get is up from $164,000 last year. Thank God for that.
Yeah.
All the players on the losing team get $96,000, under $100,000. Yeah,
well,
there it is.
You know, that's because you're losers.
That's up from $89,000 last year.
Do you have Andy Reid's bonus for if he wins?
He gets a pie, a big chocolate pie.
How
one
big?
One mile wide.
Thank you.
Straight across. That's it. How long has that bottle of catsup been in your fridge? People magazine just named it one of the most dangerous expired condiments. And I would imagine a condiment that probably stays in the fridge longer than many other condiments you have. Here are five condiments that might not last as long as you think. So if you are concerned about this,
okay,
and poisoning your body, you might want to jot this down. Mayonnaise. It's got eggs, so once it's been opened, the USDA said it's only good for 2 months.
What?
So if you've got, two. Now, does that surprise you?
Yes, because I thought it was so stabilized that once you refrigerate it, that it would be very stable. I didn't know that short.
Does mayonnaise really last 2 months in your fridge?
Yes, it does. I'm not a big mayonnaise person. But, Josh, it is nice when you come in ready to insult everybody.
Give it a sniff test.
Ketchup lasts about 2 weeks in my fridge.
If it doesn't smell right, chuck it out. I don't think I've ever remembered mayonnaise. I know that I have been to places where they leave mayonnaise out. Like
not
usually
okay.
At a golf outing, like for burgers, or say, and you got to be wary of that on a hot day.
Oh, especially if someone brings like a potato salad to a cookout or something. You don't want to eat anything mayonnaise.
Be careful. Face.
Yeah, because that's in the sun.
Number two is salad dressing. Creamy kinds that have eggs or cheese are also supposed to be tossed 2 months.
My favorite dressing, Mike, is a sort of scrambled egg cheddar.
It's wonderful. No, what's your favorite dressing that you keep on hand? You must have a favorite.
Yeah, we keep two on hand usually. Marie's blue cheese dressing and the Olive Garden brand creamy Italian. But we do eat a lot of salad.
Hold on. Wait a minute. Olive Garden brand, is it available in grocery stores?
Josh will tell you where you can get it.
Okay, Josh?
It's Costco, I'm sure.
Yeah, two bottles in a pack.
I believe I have it as well.
Okay, so it is so wildly popular that
it's
both
very
of you
good.
Have this?
Yeah. Yes.
And it's creamy Italian?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
All right. I'm sure it doesn't have any sugar in it.
There you go. Well, both of them, chuck them out after 2 months if you can. Why did I hit that? I shouldn't have.
No.
All right, now we get to ketchup and barbecue sauce. They're put together.
Hey, you man, I'm ketchup.
And I'm barbecue sauce. You got about 6 months to use them up. Keep an eye on the color. If it changes, they don't tell you the color it's supposed to change.
Well,
if it changes to purple.
Well, my ketchup is transparent. Is that okay?
So 6 months. I mean, I don't think we keep ketchup around for 6 months.
Mike, what was the ketchup brand you used at your restaurant?
House Recipe.
Now, there's a rumor or sort of, I don't even, that doesn't even apply.
We were at a joint last night, place called Buckets, which is close to where my kid plays baseball. I'm just wonderfully reassured when a restaurant has Heinz ketchup on the table.
It's the best. It is the best. But what about the rumor that restaurants that put ketchup on your table in like a glass bottle, not on the side, like to use your own, they just
What did you mean? What was that?
Well,
what?
They give you ketchup in a glass bottle as opposed to serving it like on the side.
You mean like a Heinz bottle?
Yeah. What about the rumor that restaurants continually just fill the same bottle over and over again so that the bottom ketchup is like 3 years old?
I would hope that wouldn't be true. And
any experience of that when you were serving House Finest or whatever it's called?
No, because we'd have the squeeze bottle that would have, you know, Mama's got a squeeze bottle, Daddy never sleeps at night. They would put that right out there that you could have. And then the plastic bottles have changed the world for that. So you can put it out there and, you know, and when it goes... That's you know, time to get rid of it. That's how that works.
I looked up buckets, and for location, it says 2 blocks from the Little League fields.
There it is.
That's for drunken fathers,
right there. That's what it is.
What? Well, it's convenient, and the
and
wings are really,
away.
Really, really good. Mustard is next. Lasts longer because there's more vinegar in it. Mm. Once you break the seal, by the way, don't break the seal is advice. That applies to many circumstances. Some
especially,
people,
Mike, if there's a color change.
That's true. You got 1 year for mustard to use it up. Now, this one concerns me because this is something that lingers in our pantry. Longer. Soy sauce.
Yeah. Just bought it yesterday.
Some people assume that you know it lasts forever, but again, you got about a year to use your soy sauce.
So well, we got the big bottle yesterday, so we'll have to really start thinking about Asian things we can cook.
Why did you buy soy sauce? There has to be a reason. Were you making something?
I like it in vegetables. Like if you're sauteing string beans, soy sauce is great.
Okay, very good. Just wanted to know. Finally today, Chris Rowley is a 59-year-old UK man who miraculously survived after sustaining a broken neck, fractured spine, smashed ribs, blood in his lungs, and other car crash-evoking injuries from, wait for it.
Yes?
Tripping over his cat.
See, cats, man.
Rowley, the UK 59-year-old, said, I can't remember much. Just falling fast. It was quick and it was over within seconds and I was at the bottom of the stairs. The freak accident occurred on the evening of October 23rd while the professional musician was home alone with his hairless Egyptian Sphinx kitten, Eric Morecambe. Disaster struck after the wrinkly kitty, apparently feeling playful, dove out and latched onto one of its owner's legs while he was coming down the stairs. This is what he says. It took a bit of a chunk out of me leg. Then I lost me footing. Then I tumbled down 14 steps to the bottom. I lay down there. I couldn't move.
Broken neck.
Paramedics later revealed he'd suffered a fractured skull, a broken bone in the neck, 2 fractures in the spine, 9 broken ribs. Jesus. Each rib has multiple fractures and a bit of blood in the lungs. He said that Eric Morecambe, meanwhile, was completely unarmed.
The cat.
Hello. Where's Eric Morecambe? Rowley's wife, Jackie, was working nights and was unable to come to his aid. As a result, the Brit lay unattended for a whopping 14 hours in a pool of his own blood because he got a head injury.
Sure.
Me phone was dead, he said. I couldn't get up. I physically couldn't get up. It's the hardest sensation. It's almost like claustrophobia. You can't get out. You can't physically get anywhere or do anything. When asked to comment, Eric Morecambe, the cat, said, well, I guess he'll be more careful next time. Before peeing in the corner and hacking up a hairball.
It's a broken neck, isn't it?
Didn't know. I guess he won't be going down the stairs real fast, will he now, huh? A conundrum, isn't it?
By the way, if you're watching out to not break the seal, also avoid the wrinkly kitty.
Yes. Very, very dangerous.
Yeah.
An Egyptian hairless. Isn't that lovely? We'll take a break. Come back with more. Yeah. Hello.
Hi, Eric.
This is Eric Morecambe. I'm here to talk about Hypernatural. Probably the most useful piece in a guy's wardrobe is the polo shirt. Dress up or dress down or out on the course, you gotta have it. So, you might as well get the best. Hypernatural. Hypernatural was called the best men's polo shirt of 2024 by Men's Journal. Hypernatural offers polos, tees, button-ups that deliver unmatched comfort and style, featuring hyper-cool jade technology for natural cooling. The heat is just around the corner, so you're going to need this, and you can feel good buying Hypernatural. The shirts are 95% biodegradable with 0% virgin polyester and 50% regenerated materials. Plus, plastic-free packaging, no poly bags, tags, or unnecessary waste. Only recycled materials. Shirts are naturally odor-resistant and stay fresh even after multiple wears. With classic or slim fits, you can detox and upgrade your wardrobe with shirts that are truly better by nature. Find them today at hypernaturalstyle.com. That's hypernaturalstyle.com. And if you use the code TMOS, you get the highest discount they offer, 20%. Just head to hypernaturalstyle.com and use the promo code TMOS to get yours at 20% off. Hypernaturalstyle.com and code TMOS. Hypernatural, better by nature.
Mike, I have a button for the news feature. I knew the name Eric Morecambe. He's a British comedian. I think he's dead, but this is what he looks like. So now you know. He was famous for his glasses.
Hello, I'm Eric Morecambe.
He looks unfunny to me.
There we are. I'd like to see his work before I make that.
Any of his work on your antique slides?
He just reminds me of Salad Fingers with those things.
Hey, Mr. Bigglewich.
Josh.
I just don't know why the cat didn't start eating him after 14 hours.
Yeah. That's what a cat would do because cats don't care.
Yeah.
I do have a TMOS love entry.
You do? All right. Oh, well, let's take a peek. We are having a TMOS love competition, ladies and gentlemen. Simply get online.
To see who can love the best.
Yes, who make love the longest period of time. Get online, show us your love, and put a video up and share it to social. And we'll put you on the wheel that we will spin on Valentine's Day for a TMOS prize pack that will also include this lovely I Love TMOS hat.
Show worn.
Well, I don't like it when you say that because it's really brand new. I just put it on my head once or twice.
Okay, well, I think that's everything they need to know, that it was actually worn for a moment by you. And like those flags they fly over the Capitol. They're only up for a moment, but they have flown over the Capitol.
Did I leave anything out? You get on.
TMOS love is our hashtag. That's what you need to put the hashtag on.
And you put the hashtag up there. Let's take a look at one right here.
Here's a video from Jimmy Hoffman.
Okay, Jimmy Hoffman, take it away. Here we go.
Josh, your eyes are beautiful.
Yes, very blue.
Same picture.
And there you have it.
Jim Amato blowing into his
lab
cup.
They don't have to be that elaborate. They don't have to be. They can be a selfie of you talking about why you like the show, or even a shout-out to your friends on TMOS. You can do anything you want. Post it, hashtag TMOS love, and rock
are you
and roll.
Allowed, are you allowed to talk on them, or do they have to just have ambient noise of an orchestra?
I prefer some talking.
I liked it, though.
I did, too.
The guy from Cocoon's hiding out in the background there.
Oh, yes. Roll it again. I'd like to take another
Wilford Brimley.
This is from who again? Who sent this in?
Jimmy Hoffman.
Jimmy Hoffman. All right. Not to be confused with Dustin Hoffman.
It's called My Valentine is in My Big Irish Bag. Oh, and Maddie Yoda's is playing xylophone.
That's very
Yoda's
nice.
Back there.
Is that the Jimmy's Goose?
Yeah, and there's Wilford Brimley. And there's Jim Amato.
Thank you. That was fun. I like that. All right, so over the weekend... I spent the better part of last week counting my calories and losing four pounds. I am here to say that between Friday and this morning, I gained it all back.
So you're level. You're good.
Yeah, but I'm really bummed because Saturday night and then last night. Here's the way it works. We're going to have
You're
hold on,
even
Rob. Hold on a sec. Hold on a second, please. Okay. We're gonna have Sean Greenwood on from the Ben and Jerry's Corporation, as he has been on multiple times, and he will be coming on all the way in March.
Yeah.
To talk about their new flavors. But he sent the ice cream to us last week. And
cool
then
joke.
On Friday, Josh said something like, or Rob said it, that we could eat the ice cream and just take notes or mental notes
Josh
of the ice
that.
Cream.
Josh said that.
Is any left?
Yes. Yes. But I am now going to be bringing in empty containers.
Yeah.
And there's only one that I wasn't thrilled with. And I'll be honest with Sean Greenwood when he comes on the show. I'm not going to talk about them in advance. There's one that I will tell you is maybe the best I've ever had. That's maybe the best I've ever had. And it happened to be a larger vessel. It happened to be a quart, not a pint.
Yeah, it's a new thing they're doing called scoopables, where you can actually scoop it instead of just eating the entire pint.
God. That made it a lot easier to share with the kids.
Oh, yeah. My God, it's so wonderful. Who is blowing me up?
It's Sean Greenwood saying, don't eat the ice cream.
Let me see. What is it? Let me see.
So you've cracked into it too, Josh?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, I ate one pint I ate entirely by myself.
Attaboy.
And the kids got mad because they found the trash. And then another one, two others I shared with the kids.
Yeah. I broke into
a market-wide drop has sent Donald Trump's Trump token spiraling further down in the past 24 hours, bringing losses from the peak to a staggering 75%. You didn't buy any of those, did you, Josh?
All the show money. all the year renewals.
He was trying to do it. He was trying to get us there with that. I will tell you that I thought, and I know I was, I know I was lying to myself.
Right.
I thought that, you know, if you eat a lot of protein, you have that little splurge, you'd be okay. But as soon as I, for the bulk of the weekend, I was chasing my kid around. But that's not being, that was attractive. That was really, you know, I know I do mine right on microphone. You kind of hid that one, and that was as nasty. That had to stink. That had to stink when you belched.
Smells like citrus.
Oh, God, that is it. Yeah. Have you eaten anything today?
I have not.
Okay, that's it. That's what gets me going in the morning. You don't have anything to eat. Getting back to it, Rob burped, for those of you that don't know. Did you think you were going to hide that? Because you have that like kind of sheepish look.
Yeah, I thought I would, because it's sort of your thing to burp. And
it's
I didn't
my
wanna...
thing to burp. Yes, yeah. I do it right on.
Would you like me to, when I burp, to spotlight
No. No, I like you hiding it like you did and catching you at it. That's more fun.
That's the fun. Right, yeah.
So I chased my kid around Saturday and Sunday, and I did an auction over the weekend, and it was, but I didn't do anything physically over the weekend. So I really, really was bummed when I realized the Ben and Jerry's, there are 1, 2, 3, 4, and Carla counts with this too. Of the ice cream that was sent, there are 5 on my counter right now. 5. Empty containers.
Wow.
3 pints and 2 quarts. That got there Thursday, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah.
Maybe Wednesday or Thursday. That's when it arrived.
The protein that you ate, was it steak fat? When you were
I had Thursday night, I had steak and I didn't eat anything all day.
That you can eat.
I had me a steak, Mr. Eric McCamby. I had me a steak, and I had some Ben and Jerry's out of the what are they called, scoopables?
Yeah, did you put a scoop on the steak?
No, but then I woke up and I was down on Friday morning, and I was really, really excited. And then I was down Saturday morning. So, you know,
with all the crazy diets I've done, one thing that has stayed with me is that losing weight is like tipping over a Coke machine. You can't just go and tip it over. You got to rock it, get it going, and then you knock it over. When you lost weight those first 2 days, you were cruising on the previous 2 weeks. But then when your body realized, hey, chocolate chips are coming.
Then it's just kaboom. So I tell people all the time, my medicine that I take and all that, it ultimately does. You have to use your noggin. You have to use a little willpower. That,
sure.
You can't throw that out the window. Just because I take the magic shot does not mean you throw everything out the window and you're going to lose weight anyway. You cannot eat everything you want. And for
you
the Ben & Jerry's Corporation.
Not eat ice cream.
You cannot. I will tell you that it is my Achilles heel when it comes to food. Mm-hmm. If it's in the house, as it is, I have to be very careful. So tonight, I am going to just use everything, all of my powers, all of my superpowers to avoid the freezer. And it's
what's the name of the shot you take for weight loss?
Tirzepatide.
Now, what if they did like a Tirzepatide triple ripple Ben & Jerry's that actually had it
that you could eat?
Yeah, that you can
you
eat.
You could eat.
It's built into the ice cream. They'd be like little pellets and you could just eat it.
I think next time I'm sending the ice cream in a lockbox. And then the night before the show, I'll mail you the key.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
And it's, that way it just tempts you.
Yes, but I will be, you know, it's funny when he said take notes. I don't need to take notes. It's all right up here. I can tell you the ones I loved, and I can tell you. I know the two I love already. I would probably quote the name right now, but I'm not going to do that out of respect for Mr. Greenwood when he comes here in March. That's supposed to sit in my refrigerator till March. That's not going to happen. No,
put it in your freezer at least.
There's two that I will be going and purchasing again before March.
Oh, if they're
is
out.
Is it the one we've discussed, Josh?
I don't
know. The quart, we both have a favorite kind of ice cream.
Yes, all right, let me see. Court, I will get
that's so good.
That quart is
very
good.
Is it CC?
No.
I don't think so.
It's CFC. SS. It's SS.
All right, go ahead, tell
They've me. They've been announced. We can say the flavors.
Strawberry sundae is insane.
Well, that one's not a sundae. Just
no, it's strawberry cream.
Strawberry cream.
Oh, okay. Well, whatever the strawberry is, it is
Carla,
amazing.
I didn't have any of that.
She ate it all?
Carla ate it all.
Oh, my God.
Carla ate it all.
Did she take notes?
Right. How are you supposed to talk about it?
Yes. You're doing your job.
I'll say my wife loved it. That's what I'll say. My wife enjoyed them.
No, but the other one is the cheesecake sundae.
Oh, I haven't had that one
yet.
That's the one I ate by myself.
Okay. I ate the dulce de leche. With the chocolate chips on top, my God! But nothing compares, and we'll do this again in March because we couldn't keep it in our pants with this. That chocolate chip coffee, chocolate chip, the scoopable,
right?
Hello, what was that?
I was just checking. It's strawberries and cream is the name of the strawberry ice cream.
No, what was that sound?
That was the sound of a YouTube link that was supposed to be silent as I checked the name of the link of the ice cream. My apologies. This background stuff.
We've talked about this ice cream on three episodes.
I wonder if
Shills. We don't get anything from anybody anymore.
He knows that if we
on
send
this show, we don't have. I'm glad to have Joel, but only a guest because we know him. Sean Greenwood's been on the show 70 times. We know him. We latch on to the people we know, like parasite, like pilot fish. So that's it. And we get excited when we get free stuff. It's very nice.
He will be here a month from today. On March
a month
3rd.
From today, Sean Greenwood will be on the show.
Do we have a puzzle for that?
We have a puzzle
for everyone to go purchase this ice cream and eat along.
Eat along,
Josh, did you see the picture of my kid with the interception on flag football, running for a touchdown? Did you happen to
see that? I was. You know what disappointed me about that?
What's that?
I did not hear the loud cup. I think the loud cup would have been perfect in that moment.
I was not at the game, although I wouldn't have brought the loud cup anyway because it's sitting here. So I wouldn't have done. I was
if Mike had been at the game, he would have had the loud cup full of dulce de leche Ben & Jerry's ice cream.
I had a previous engagement. I was emceeing the event for Home Base, which is a wonderful organization that helps vets with trauma. And it's based out of Boston. They do an auction down here in Florida, and what a wonderful organization it is. And it was a pleasure to do my third year in a row.
Good for you, Mike,
of hosting that. Really, really
those
wonderful
auctions
event.
Are not always a blast to do, and I appreciate the fact
but
that you take
the
time
good
to
thing
do it.
Is now that I've been there. First year was tough. Now I know you like tons of guys that are out there and ladies that are out there that I know personally, and that makes it a lot easier to do. But I will also tell you that. Following that, I beat feet out of there because we went to the Buffalo joint that I took you guys to.
Oh, yeah.
To have wings. And after the wings, we got home, and it was Ben and Jerry's again. It's just, you know, it's there, it was so, so incredibly yummy, and it was great. But to see my kid, who is blessed with something athletically I did not possess, no matter what sport I played, speed of running was not my forte.
Really?
And to see my son legging it out and you know, really running like that.
Is
like
he a good gazelle. Runner?
He's a great runner. He's
wow.
a great, great runner. Mm. And then it was a practice for him on Sunday. So it was really him all weekend long. And in between, because Academy Sports, I'll give him a plug, through the 20% discount for the Little League, got him a tee to hit off of, and got him that little rebound net, which we put together yesterday. So it was all about my, and that's a cool thing. They didn't have those when I was a kid. But they weren't nearly as good.
The sad thing is that after this weekend, all that stuff that Michael did, he's up 4 pounds.
Oh, my God, we're running late. I have to take a break. I think he had a little ice cream, too. We'll take a break What's not to like? Yeah. I'll let you be the dealer's choice. Old movies or a Jive Super Bowl article. We'll do that when we come back with more fun and more thrills. You, ladies and gentlemen, have the distinct honor, privilege, and pleasure of listening to the Mike O'Mara Show. This program is sponsored by Liquid IV. Forgot to bring it in here today. I got to pack it. I didn't, but I didn't mix it yet.
Well, you should put that on your ice cream.
Oh, that's the best. White peach.
White peach is the best. I'm so glad we agree on the flavors. That's my favorite, too. Unfortunately, my voice right now is all coffee and no liquid IV.
You sound like President Bill Clinton.
Hello, dear. unfortunately, I didn't take my liquid IV.
You'll get liquid IV.
Yeah. Josh is right. The white peach is the absolute best. It's powered by Live Hydra Science. Liquid IV helps you break the mold. You know that I love liquid IV. I drink it out of that Pizza Hut red cup all the time. Keeps me going. I'll be into it as soon as the show is over. And they got so many great flavors, true to fruit flavors that keep you hydrated. Find all your favorite hydration multiplier flavors on their website, from grape to lemon lime to do you like pina coladas?
Getting caught in the rain.
Choose from their line of sugar-free flavors like raspberry lemonade, white peach, and rainbow sherbet. So much better than any sports drink you can think of. Plus, 3 times the electrolytes of the leading sports drink, 8 essential vitamins and nutrients, and always non-GMO, vegan, gluten-free, dairy-free, and soy-free. Don't think you don't need it. The dry air of winter will dehydrate you before you know it. Liquid IV to the rescue. Use it instead of Miracle-Gro. My geraniums are going crazy. Such pretty flowers. Tear poor, live more. Liquid IV. Embrace your rituals with extraordinary hydration from Liquid IV. Get 20% off your first order of Liquid IV when you go to liquidiv.com and use code TMOS at checkout. That's 20% off your first order when you shop Better Hydration today using promo code TMOS at liquidiv.com. Rob Spiewak.
First of all, just brief, thank you for noting the Pina Colada song by Rupert Holmes. That was the only song when I was doing radio in college that would get requested, and was always by the same girl, and I don't know why I remember her name, but it was Fiona Vanden Neuenhausen. Great
and
name.
Fiona had no problem with extramarital affairs.
That song put a happy light on cheating on your spouse.
A guy that puts an ad in the paper looking for some strange, and lo and behold, it's his own old
bag
that answers the question. And isn't that special?
It's fun. It's fun.
And then they laugh about it instead of the wife stabbing him like in the sternum with a steak knife,
which is what would happen in real life.
Absolutely.
It's something everyone should try.
It's true.
You find out if your spouse is really for you.
There you go.
I did an ad, Mike, but I did it in the Arlington Catholic Herald. It's right behind the movies you're not allowed to watch.
Amen. Very good. Thank you.
A complaint, but first some praise. The chain of the Alamo Drafthouse movie theater. Really a great. They show great movies. They do a great job with their presentation. They're very strict about no talking. I like that. And they've been doing a series of old movies where you can go in and see older movies on the big screen. We talked about It's a Wonderful Life. We saw at Christmas. Carrie and I have gone to see... Gosh, I took my mom to see My Fair Lady there. Carrie and I saw To Kill a Mockingbird, and I'll be going to see Casablanca next week. I'm very excited about all of these.
When you go and see all these old movies,
yeah,
is it the same people every time? Like a club, you say hi, see you next month?
Yeah, but a lot of times there's one missing.
So it's an elderly crowd.
They skew older. And
To Kill a Mockingbird's a cool movie. It's Robert Duvall's first movie, I think.
And you know what? Watch it, folks, because it is more appropriate now than it has been in a long time. It's a really good film.
Leonard Scott Gregory Peck.
He's a tough guy. He's Atticus Finch.
Yeah. Gregory Peck.
You're doing more of an Omen, Gregory Peck, there.
What about the boy? We must kill the boy.
A lot of these are done as a Sunday matinee, and I have advice to the old people. Okay. When you sit down at 10:30, getting ready for an 11 o'clock showing of a movie that you saw in the theater 60 years ago, that's great. Don't give your waitress grief because your beer is late. It's 11 o'clock in the morning. And also, I don't need people sitting right next to me with a huge order of stinky wings or some sort of outrageous food that they serve there because it's a restaurant.
So the Alamo, somebody takes your order before the movie starts and then they bring it to you. But I mean, you have to expect they're getting food. Why are you begrudging people getting food?
It should smell like popcorn.
They can't have popcorn.
Because they're older?
No, it's their digestive system.
They'll choke on it.
Right, they'll choke on it, and it'll give them diverticulitis.
Well, I don't like the smell. It's like being on an airplane when someone has a tin of Chinese food.
Right.
It's exposing you to an odor that you're not benefiting from, and you have no choice.
By the way, I'd say they should 10:30 in the morning with a matinee of My Fair Lady, you are an animal.
Hey, you know what? I still came back and caught both playoff games. It was a great day. And it looks like...
You are a wild animal.
Well, I am a wild animal. Mike, it looks like February 9th, I'm going to have an extra ticket to Casablanca. So reach out if anyone wants to see me there.
Well, you know, if you're going to show an old movie
Rob
in a theater...
What the puzzle's for.
No, that's not what it is. And warn me, I didn't have your element ready.
Casablanca would be like at the top of the list for an old movie to see on a big screen, right?
It is so much fun to see old movies on the big screen. And now what they're doing, I believe essentially they're just showing them off of Blu-ray. You know, the projector is not a film transfer. It's so crisp. It's like seeing it for the first time.
Cool.
And it's really fun. But still, no stinky food at the Alamo.
Now,
I don't want that.
Well, look, I disagree vehemently with the food issue. But as far as the beer and an old person giving a server excuse me.
There you go.
I forgot. Thought it was the bonus show for a second. That's something that... I say no. I don't believe it. Were they giving them a hard time because it was late?
The credits were rolling. And once the
opening credits.
Yeah. And once the movie starts, you have, as they say, a button you press to bring your server. And so this is a very dramatic open, this To Kill a Mockingbird. And the guy pushes the button and the server comes over and he says, "And what about my Allagash White?" The whole theater can hear it. And it's, and it's that
dick.
I know. It's just, come on, guys. This is a movie theater. You're not there. You're not at the Palm. You know what? You're lucky you're getting a beer at all. You don't need to complain about it.
Did you confront this person?
I did not.
Shut the F up, old man. I'm trying to watch the opening of To Kill a Mockingbird.
My revenge was sweeter. I waited till the movie was over and I kicked his crutch.
On that note, we are running a tad behind, but that's okay. We will come back with Rob Spiewak's beautiful video.
No sounds of old people falling down in a movie theater.
That's right. And by the way, in tribute to our wonderful TMOS Love video, Rob won't start the sound on these videos until about 10 seconds in. We'll be right back, everybody. One of the biggest challenges to eating better is that so many better-for-you products taste Where's my rush sound? Hold on a second. I got it here. I have it always at my fingertips, all right? Yep. Well, there's a brand that has cracked the code on providing real nutrition that also tastes incredible. Orgain. And I'm telling you, it is delicious. Orgain's 30 gram. Remember, if you're a protein person, 30 grams of protein. You know, a lot of programs and eating programs, you really have to get your protein in. What a great product to do this. 30-gram protein shakes, an excellent source of complete protein with all 9 essential amino acids. And whether it's chocolate or vanilla, the taste is the best. Gives me energy, provides muscle support, recovery, helps manage hunger, promotes healthy weight management. It's all good. Orgain is convenient, real nutrition with only 1 gram of sugar per serving. Right after the show, I go to my refrigerator, I get my vanilla Orgain. Love it, love it. No soy ingredients or artificial flavors or sweeteners. 30 grams. I get it. Bingo. That size right there, right down my cake hole. Just call me the Supreme Court Judge of Orgain Chocolate Fudge.
That's what I call you.
I find it guilty of being delicious. Case dismissed. Orgain 30-gram protein shakes available at Costco and Orgain.com. If you want to get in on the delicious protein-packed nutrition today, head to Orgain.com/TMOS. Once you're there, look around, get some Orgain in your cart, then head to checkout. And when you are prompted to, use the promo code TMOS30. That'll get you 30% off your order. Remember, for 30% off, head to Orgain.com/TMOS and make sure you use the code TMOS30 during checkout so they know that we sent you.
Hey, I like that. Some beautiful video.
Cherry time.
Oh, a damn dog dying.
Casey's Top 40.
Casey.
Hi. Hi. Mike, we were both raised Catholic. Did you ever buy into exorcisms?
Well, the only thing I can tell you growing up about exorcisms is all of the family members. It was my sister and I and 5 cousins. They all got to go into Ellsworth to see the exorcism.
Oh, I thought you were going to say they all had exorcisms.
No, I had to stay behind, so I couldn't go. But no, I don't believe in it. I don't believe in possession by the devil. I don't.
They
I
think say
it's a
that the
great movie,
subject. They say that the movie The Exorcist, I get was like 1973 or three, I think, that it was based on a true exorcism in Maryland, I think. Mm-hmm. But some people still buy into it. And especially if a priest wanted to be hip, he could do a podcast about exorcisms. But Father, watch your behavior.
Tonight, a disturbing incident involving a local priest. He's accused of grabbing a teen's hair and attempting to floss his teeth.
But the creepy allegations, they don't end there. Fox News' Jessica Dupnack with the details.
This is his podcast.
People are fixed on the devil's power.
Meet Father Carlos Martins from Detroit, claims to be an exorcist.
They ask me, what have you seen? Have you seen levitation? Have you been hit with objects flying through the air? And I'll say, yeah, I've seen all of these things.
So his hip thing is that he's the priest that's the exorcist, but still, you shouldn't be flossing your teeth with a teenager's hair, period.
So let's play a clip from the movie, the original movie, The Exorcist. Roll the clip, please.
Hey, everybody, this is Reba McEntire.
Okay, sorry about that.
Did you like when her head spun around?
Yeah, it was great, and she vomited green pea soup.
No, I'm sorry, Mike. That wasn't The Exorcist. That was Happy's Place.
Sorry about that. I really do have a clip from The Exorcist.
Please.
If you want to hear it, all right?
Yeah, I do.
This is the scene that Rob was in right here.
The power of Christ compels you! The power of Christ compels you!
Yeah, it was when they was telling me to go see the old movies.
Yes.
Oh, and I should say this, Mike, because people want to know.
I knew that was happening. Sorry about that.
Well, it's all right. Happy's Place airs on NBC Friday nights, and it streams for free the next day on Peacock. Check it out.
That is scary.
Hey, everybody. This is Reba McEntire. Happy Halloween.
Oh, you got the long clip.
Reba.
Mike, you go on TikTok occasionally, right?
Oh, I live there.
Yeah. There's a new thing called Stick Talk, where people go on TikTok and talk about sticks that they've found.
What is up, Stick Nation? This is my official submission. This stick was growing through a fence. You can see it's great at casting. This is a wizard-type stick. It has the protection sleeve on the bottom. This is an amazing stick. One of one. You will never find another stick like this.
That's been carved.
I know. Yeah. It's totally manufactured.
It's been carved, you dick.
No, he's finished. He said there's a protection sleeve on the bottom.
Yeah. That's right. So, yeah. He bought it.
So, walking stick. He probably got it in a gas station.
So, Mike, are you part of Stick Talk Nation?
I can't wait to go there. Really. I'm going to drink my Orgain and linger there. Linger? Longer.
Yeah. Let's do two more. Boomers, Mike. Boomers love meetings.
What happened to my Allagash White?
And where is it? So, anyway, this is a younger person talking about the waste of time people have to go through with boomers because they love meetings.
Boomers love meetings. They'll have meetings about meetings. They want to have...
Also, my tip for her, if I can start this clip over again, is if you're going to do a rant, that's great, but buy some Clearasil or a cover-up stick of some sort, because really, this looks like we're looking into space and we've just spotted the red planet.
Yeah.
Okay, but let's start again.
Boomers love meetings. They'll have meetings about meetings. They want to have a meeting to plan the meeting that we're going to have next week. Meetings make them feel important. Okay, because then next time somebody's trying to schedule something with them, they're like scheduling a doctor's appointment. The doctor says, can we do it on Wednesday the 12th? They can say, no, sorry, I can't. I have a meeting that day. Now that person, oh, you're an important person who has meetings. Emails. Anybody can email. Emails aren't important, okay? Work is not about efficiency. Work is about grandeur. It's about showing your title. It's about, look, I wear the suit. I stand so at the front
true.
Of the room.
It is
how
true.
I am. An email just does not convey that grandeur, okay? They also love their paperwork, okay? So they can file things away in a drawer to never be seen again. But having paperwork, that makes you important.
Mike,
I agree.
Another thing that bosses
said.
Do to look important is they use a hot washcloth on their face.
I agree with everything that young lady had to say about boomers.
I agree.
Really, really
yeah.
do.
Thank God you're not one of them, Mike.
No, thank God. We need to have a meeting about that.
Speaking of it, let's close with this. Maybe she wouldn't have had that tremendous lesion on her face if she followed the newest beauty technique that's taking the world by storm. Yes, I'm talking about banana peels.
Guys, let's try the banana peel facial. That's super trendy right now. So we're going to be rubbing the raw banana peel against the entire face. It's supposed to be like natural Botox while tightening the skin. It also helps with discoloration while also exfoliating your skin. So here I am just letting the banana peel sit for about 10 minutes.
Pretty.
And then we're going to wash it off. Mm-hmm. Banana peels also help you whiten your teeth. So that's what I'm doing here. I already cleansed, so my skin is feeling super smooth, and now I'm about to use toner. Here I am using the viral TikTok moisturizer to keep my skin so...
Blah, blah, blah. Anyway, the banana trick worked.
Carla, I got an idea for you.
On the way home, she was attacked by a monkey.
Yeah, those Jersey monkeys that got away. Hey, how about that? Fantastic. That was a jingle. When Rob plays them, I like to play them.
I know.
Hey, everybody. Thanks for listening. That's great. We got to get out of here, ladies and gentlemen. For Rob Spiewak and Josh Soroka, this is Mike O'Mara saying thank you for all you do. Don't forget, the contest is still going on. Not the puzzle one. That's a new one. The contest is show your TMOS love. Hashtag TMOS love. Put any kind of video. Anything.
Yep.
Anything. As long as it has hashtag TMOS love on it and as long as it has to do with the show. I welcome it with open arms. Please do. And if you do that, we will put you on a giant wheel.
Yes.
That'll have a TMOS prize pack for the winner, including this I Love TMOS hat. Isn't that beautiful?
And if you submit a video, extra points if you have a giant weeping lesion on your cheek.
Absolutely. So eat chocolate and have
fries.
A great day. Thank you, everybody. We'll see you next time. Bye-bye.
So long, folks.
Want more? Make sure you check out the Mike O'Mara Bonus Show. Get it at MikeOMaraShow.com.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
It seems like everyone is either starting a side hustle or becoming their own boss.
And you know what they're hearing a lot? It's the sound of another sale on Shopify, the all-in-one commerce platform to start, run, and grow your business. Sign up for a £1 per month trial period at shopify.co.uk/sell23, all lowercase. Whether you're selling loafers or peace lilies, Shopify simplifies selling online and in person. Covering all sales channels, from a shop front POS system to its all-in-one e-commerce platform, Shopify even gets you selling across social media marketplaces. With their 24/7 help and extensive business course library, Shopify is ready to support your success every step of the way. Go to shopify.co.uk/sell23 to take your business to the next level today. That's shopify.co.uk/sell23.